You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Dwight Gooden, and he joins us here on the K Show. It's Don and Peter. Doc, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes under these tough circumstances.
Oh, for sure. How you guys? What's up, Lynn? Thanks for having me.
Well, we're hanging in. Obviously, it's a tough day. And just for you, I know you tweeted out that he was a great person and a great pitcher. Just talk about the relationship, especially getting to know him and having the responsibility of being the next Tom Seaver when you got called up by the Mets.
You're right, because I remember in 84, I didn't find out until later on when David Johnson, the manager of the Nationals, was talking about that. When Tom was left off the roster, the spring of 84, that's what opened the spot for me, because I came to spring camps and not a roster player, not knowing that at the time. But Tom's a great mentor of mine. I remember meeting Tom and talking to him. I don't know if it's when Mets had the old-timers day or what have you, when they would come out. And it just took, odd to me where we just started talking. He loved talking baseball. He loved talking pitching. He loved challenging me, where he would say, what would you throw in this situation? Or why would you throw this? He told me about, always working on something between stars, having something to make yourself better. And he always said that, what would we be doing if you're not doing the season or if it's not spring training, what would you be doing to make yourself better? And so we'll talk about that, about, constantly training during off season, working on your weaknesses. Like, my biggest weakness was holding on to the base. We talked about how you improved that. He always talked about family, how I was doing for health-wise. And then I always saw him down in Cooperstown doing an induction weekend. We'll both be on there signing autographs or what have you, and we'll always talk. And I would miss that. He was a great guy. Everyone knew he was a great pitcher, but to me, he was even a better person off the field as well.
Doc, I wanted to go back a little further. When you were a kid growing up, at what age did pitching grab your attention, and what did you see in Tom Seaver as a kid that impressed you, and did you try to emulate anything? Like, where did he rank for you as a kid among the pitchers you admired?
Oh, most definitely. I was very, very blessed and very fortunate to have my dad teaching me, and Gary Sheffield, my nephew. We grew up in the same house. He's my sister's kid. I'm 4 years older. But it was like my dad knew Gary's going to be a hitter. I was going to be a pitcher. We used to sit and watch games with my dad, where he would have his beer and chips, we'd have our juice cups, what have you. Talk about it. And then in the backyard, like, Tom Seaver and Nolan Ryan was my two idols for his pitchers. I would emulate those guys, and me and Gary argued that I was going to be Tom Seaver that day, or I was going to be Nolan Ryan, or what have you, that particular day. So at a very young age, probably like 19 years old, is when I started pitching and learning about pitching. My dad was teaching me and teaching Gary about hitting. And as I started getting older, I started understanding stuff and really paying attention to games. Growing up in Tampa, Florida, the Reds had spring training there during the 60s and 70s, so went to a lot of spring training games, a lot of their Class A team games as well. And that's really where I learned the game at, watching guys on TV, not just watching because it was my team, but watching what pitchers do and what they do in certain situations. And as I started getting older, was in my teenage years, started learning how to read bat speed and so on and things like that. And then the fast forward, once I made the team and then I got to meet Tom and, all that stuff, he's coming around. They're just great. Just loved it and developed a great relationship with him.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's growing up a Met fan, it seemed like it was always about pitching, right? Because it was Seaver, and then it was you and the stable of guys that came up, the Darlings and the Fernandezes of the world. And just, did you understand when you were called up and when you were involved in that, just how important pitching was to the Mets franchise?
I didn't quite understand. Like, I knew, I was aware, even at a low level, probably once I got to A-ball, my second year with the Mets, but my first full season in baseball, that how rich the Mets pitcher was at every level. And as you mentioned, we was always built around pitching, no matter what. Each level had pitching. And I remember it seemed like from 83 to 88 in the minor leagues, the Mets minor league system was always breeding, you know, good arms, guys that threw hard, but not only threw hard, they knew how to pitch. And it was based on pitching. And I love that because I could be a little biased because I was a pitcher, but just knowing that, yeah, so many pitchers ready to come up, and when guys, when I made it to big leagues, even when guys got hurt, we had guys to come in and fill in, and you didn't really miss much. The guys took off right there where, you know, the guy that was hurt left off.
Do you have any recollection from the 86 World Series with him in the other dugout for the Red Sox?
I was aware of that, that he was over there. I think we talked about a little bit about Tom over there, and I always said that it would be great if he was over here because we still had a young staff. And to me, you know, obviously I didn't see too much of him. I remember too much of him his first time around with the Mets in the 60s. I was born in 64, but the second time when he came back, I was aware of it. But some guys just seem like they're supposed to be with a certain club the whole career. And he was one of those guys. And being that he was with the Red Sox, it just didn't seem like, just felt like he should have been in our dugout at that time.
We're talking to Doc Gooden, and the thing that bothers me about baseball today is how much pitching has changed. No more complete games, which means less shutouts, less no-hitters, less 20 strikeout games, all that. So can there ever be another Tom Seaver again, the way the game is played now?
I don't think so. Not in our lifetime. And it's funny because the things that he shared with me, the way he talked about the game, is totally opposite of the way the game is played now. It's like what you just mentioned. He always talked about when you take the ball, you got to have the mindset that I'm taking the ball to finish the game. Unfortunately, I don't blame the pitchers today, just the way the game's changed through the organizations at the minor league levels. But Tom always talked about finishing game, pitch counts. He always had this saying that, how do you know you had enough pitches? Are you throwing too much pitches? Are you tired? He said, well, the hitters dictate when you've had enough. If you've had enough that day of you throwing too many pitches, when they start hitting you, or guys you normally get out start hitting you, that means you've reached your pitch count that particular day. It wasn't necessarily the amount of pitches because, as we know, 100 pitches in 3 innings or 100 pitches in 7 innings is totally different. If you got 100 pitches in 7 innings, I mean, you're doing pretty good. 100 pitches in 3 innings, you're not doing too well. But he was big on that. He was big about finishing what you start, competing every day, learning how to pitch without your best stuff. And those are the type of things we talked about. And it always sucked.
Do you, how much do you enjoy watching Jacob DeGrom? And do you think about where he could end up all time when you talk about the Tom Seavers, and maybe he's in his own category, but Seaver and Gooden, et cetera. Do you think about DeGrom in that context?
Oh, man. Watching him is a treat. And it's funny because I've marked my date like every fifth day that I know he's pitching. And even when he missed the start because of, I think, the blister, what have you, I was wondering, trying to read reports, read everything, when he's going to pitch again so I can plan my day. Because a lot of times I go out to Maryland to watch my son, you know, train. He's in high school playing football or basketball. But I mark my dates depending on when the girl pitches because I want to watch. And it's amazing the way he's pitching. And I think with the exception of him not getting enough wins, everything else, ERA, quality starts, strikeouts and all that, he's right there. I mean, he's already, I mean, not to blow smoke on my own horn, but he's already right there with Seaver myself. I don't think we could ever have enough time where he would catch Seaver, but he could definitely catch me for sure.
Well, Doc, this is always fun. You talk about marking a calendar. That's what I did when I was a kid watching you pitch, and I hope you're doing well.
I appreciate that. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. You guys played, and I'm not blowing smoke, you guys, the fans, played a big part of my career. It was nothing greater than pitching at Shea Stadium.
Thanks,
Doc. Stay healthy, man, okay?
All right. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.